movie. We're actually in week four of this Guardian series, and it's designed to give us some guidance on dealing with fear. Specifically, we have been looking at the things that God gave us to help settle our fear. So we've looked at the idea of wonder with Santa Claus. Last week, we took a very unusual thought into Easter, and we actually had a sermon centered around the Easter Bunny. But it wasn't about the Easter Bunny. We were talking about hope. And, well, today we head for the mighty castle of Toothina is her name. You know her better as the Tooth Fairy. She collects the children's baby teeth and leaves behind money as their gifts. I have to be honest with you. I like this lady. Anybody that leaves me money under my pillow when I was a kid, they were very popular in my house. And she is the guardian of memories, but really there's another side of it. She is the guardian of remembrance. What did she say? They collect the teeth, and then they hold on to the memories that are part of the teeth. And then when you're having a hard time and you're having a struggle and you're there, then she takes those memories and she puts them back to you and reminds you of your past. She is part human and part hummingbird. I have no idea why they decided that was the mix for her for this movie. But Tooth is a sweet, bubbly, elegant, daring, agile, graceful, charismatic, motherly, smart, but at the same time, a fierce fighter as a guardian. This would have made a great Mother's Day sermon series, would it not have? Apparently, for some reason, she stopped actually going in the field collecting teeth herself about 440 years ago. Instead, she had turned that job over to the little mini fairies, and you saw one of them buzzing around. And, well, she just kind of stayed at her palace operating from there and letting the work be done by her little mini fairies. But apparently, as things went on and as the movie went on, she was forced to go back into service herself, going around and collecting the teeth, and she begins to remember exactly why she loved her job so much. It was all about the kids. I mean, somehow when she was locked away in her castle, she had forgotten what it was like to go out and actually see the kids. Isn't that interesting? The guardian of memories forgot. And this is important to us because memories are extremely important. What is a memory? Well, a memory is the faculty by which the mind stores and remembers information. Okay? Something remembered from the past or recollection. And how powerful are memories? Well, I've told you before, and still some people debate with me about this, but I'm telling you it's the truth. Your brain has the capability to store every single moment of your life from the time you're born until the time you die. It's all there. Every moment of your life is in your brain. Now, sometimes amongst all of the clutter, I can't find it. That's a filing issue, not a memory issue. Okay? The information is there. It's not God's fault or it's not anybody else's fault that you just don't have the filing system to go and figure out where it is. But memories, they're important. Memories come from experience, both good and bad. Thus, many think that our memories make up a great deal of who I am. Those things that happened to me that I remember as a kid, those are the things that really make me who I am, not the skin and the freckles and the hair that isn't there as much as it used to be. And that's not who I am. This is just a suit, an earth suit that I'm dwelling in, but really I am a culmination of all of the experiences that have happened to me. Therefore, usually if you love something, it's because you had a positive experience with it. Okay? I like hamburgers. I've always liked hamburgers, but you know, I can actually remember back when I got my first restaurant hamburger. It was from a restaurant called Burger Chef. You're thinking, what's a Burger Chef? They don't exist anymore. Okay, it was before the days of McDonald's, and they had a little burger chef guy on a mug. I've got a mug at home if you'd like to see it. But I can remember the positive experience of going to that restaurant and having my very first hamburger. Oh, it was delicious. If you don't like it, it's because you had a bad experience or a negative experience with it. I did the unthinkable last night. I scheduled to go get my vaccine. Why is that the unthinkable? Because I don't like needles. Because I was poked and prodded so much as a kid, I don't do the whole needle thing. So that is why I hunted down the Johnson & Johnson. They really get one shot at this, and that's it. If they do it wrong, we're just not going to worry about it, okay? They get one, because I don't like needles, because I had bad experiences as a kid, and so that's kind of put me up there. There's a lot of people here that don't like spiders. It's because you probably had something happen when you were a kid that made you afraid of spiders. What you are afraid of, well, that also has something to do with your experiences. You usually are afraid of something because somewhere in your past you associate it with a scary moment. Some people associate the smell of something with somebody that passed, or an event or a holiday with losing something. And so it becomes very scary for us. So today we're going to look at the positive side of memories. How using our memories to overcome fear. So we are going to be in Psalm chapter 77. I realize a lot of times I do what's called bounce sermons, and we're all over the place. Today, we're going to be in Psalm chapter 77. So if you have your copy of God's Word, you can turn there. If you didn't bring one, you may pull one out of the pew rack in front of you, and it's on page 578. Okay, so that's where we are going to be, because this psalmist talks all about the skill of using our memories to help us get through very difficult times. And we're all coming out of some difficult times that, well, we have memories from now. And believe it or not, the memories that you have now coming out of the difficult times, the next difficult time that you experience, you can go back and use those memories to help you through the next one. Because memories, they're like a giant snowball. They just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger as you go through life. Hence the reason we oftentimes have filing problems and can't recall memories as well as we would like to. But the first thing I want you to see, the psalmist talks about the idea of remembering there is a God. This is what he writes in verses 1 through 6. I cried out to God for help. I cried to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord at night, and I stretched out untiring hand, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned, and I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about former days and the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. And it's not hard to happen. You're struggling desperately with something that's going on in your life. You're looking for a way out, and you've come up with solution after solution of how you're going to get out of the situation that you're in, but nothing seems to be working. And in the middle of it all, you're sitting there, and the light bulb comes on. I forgot about God. Like the tooth fairy forgot about the kids. I forgot. There's a God. And maybe that's where I need to start. So the first thing I want you to see when it comes to using your memories to get through fear is you have to acknowledge God. But when you acknowledge God, just so you know, you're not there yet. Because when you remember, it's going to lead to some questions. Listen to the psalmist. Verses 7 through 9. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will you reject forever, Lord? Will you never show his favor again? His unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld compassion? And the first thing I do want you to see is a word that hopefully just leapt off that page. This word, meditate. Hopefully it leapt off, because if you go all the way back to the very first sermon series of the year when we were discussing the disciplines of being still, this was on your list. The discipline of just meditation. So this isn't just a thought of, oh my gosh, there is a God, so let me just show up a quick prayer. He says, I meditated on you, God. And we talked all about that, about what it meant to be meditate. But the thing is as I began to meditate, I began to ask questions, and all of these questions, face it, they're all negative. Everything the psalmist is asking is a bummer. It's almost like he's angry at God, and you know what? He is. I mean, when you have forgotten God and then you choose to remember, you start asking these negative questions, and which he really wants to know is, God, do you care? Look at the questions. He wants to know, are you ever going to be favorable to me again? Is your love really unfailing? Because that son of vanished. Have you failed for all the time? Have you forgotten mercy? Have you forgotten compassion? Hey, God, do you really care about the situation I'm in right now? And a lot of people think that's a bad thing. No. That's not bad. I can just, again, trot out Job for you. And, yeah, the Job sermon's coming somewhere down the road. You know it's there because I'm sitting here just kind of dropping little blocks along the way. Job did this. He lost everything. And he questioned God. And you know what? God was okay with him asking these kind of questions because that's how this works. God wants you to get to thinking. And God's okay if you sometimes ask these hard, difficult questions. I think sometimes we think, well, I have to be the good little Christian. Look, there's my smile. And I come in and I'm okay. How's your day? I'm good. I'm fine. Really, praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Look, you're having those moments and things are getting really difficult and complicated. It's okay to ask God. God, you promised. Where are you? Show up. Come and collect. Come and do what you said. You see, he just wants you to keep remembering, because as you begin to ask these very, very difficult questions, God shows up and God has an answer. Because as you begin to ask all of these questions, you begin to think back through your past and you begin to remember what God has done. Verses 10 through 12. Then I thought, see what's happening? I went from yelling at God to now I am sitting still and I'm thinking. I thought, to this I will appeal the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember the miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate, there's that word again, on all your mighty deeds. So the psalmist says, when I get in this questioning mode and I just think God has forgotten me, it's time for me to go through the filing system and start pulling out some of those memories. And he gives us some categories. Some things, he said, hey, look, when you just can't seem to find your way out, when it's just too dark, here's what you need to focus on. Number one, focus on deeds. What has God done in your past? It's not hard, right? I can go back, and I don't have to go back very far to think about the things that God has done in my past to bless me, or the times that I've had other dark moments, and I can go back and I can think about the things that God has done in my life to help me through those moments, so I can go back into my life, back into the filing system, and you know what? I can look at my own past, and I can draw from that. He talks about miracles of long ago. We can go back and look at what God has done through history. This is one of the advantages of going out there and reading through the prophecies and the prophets. Sometimes it gets a little overwhelming because of all the imagery. But if you go back and you start reading through the prophecies and you realize that God put all of this stuff in motion, and then you watch it come into existence in the New Testament, how he said Jesus is going to be born of a virgin birth. And you know what? Christmas time, we celebrate Mary and the idea that she gave birth to Christ. He's going to be born in Bethlehem, tax collection. Yeah, by the way, anybody that forgot, I got good news for you. See, you thought I was going to say taxes due this week. They gave you an extension, okay? So now they're not due till May 17th. So you get a month reprieve. But Mary didn't get that, 9 months pregnant. Off to Bethlehem she goes. But that's because God had a plan. God had promised. See, God has been weaving the tapestry for history for years. And when I look back across history, I can get some assurance from that. It talks about remembering the works, those things that you're doing today. Even in my darkest moments, you know, I wake up every morning and there's air to breathe. I've never been homeless. I don't know that my kids have ever gone to bed hungry unless they chose to, and neither have I. Now, I know not everybody can say those things because we've all had different experiences in our life, but even in your darkest moments, understand, you're here today. And so since you're here today, that means God is doing something in your life today. It can't all be darkness. And he says, look at your mighty deeds. What is God doing in the world today? And sometimes this just gets hard. Because I look at the headlines, and I look out the window, and I look as I go up and down the road, and then when I'm standing in the grocery store, and it just seems like there's so much that's going wrong in the world today. But look around, folks. If you were here about 18 months ago, and I'm going to get the number right this time, it was me and Lynn and Lauren and Steve. And by the way, last time I forgot, we forgot the maestro behind the sound booth, Caleb. And we were the only ones here in this building, and we were trying to do worship. And now look, there's people. God has been working. And he's still at work. And I need to remember that. It can't always be bad. I can always look at the thing that God is doing and will continue doing. And as I begin to do those things, I come up with a really, 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 really cool memory. And here it is. God loves you. Let me say that again. God loves you. That's a good thing to remember in verses 13 through 15. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is great as our God. You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people. With your mighty arm, you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Now, from the psalmist's perspective, he is looking back at an event in history that when God delivered Israel from Egypt. If you watched television last week, since that was Easter week, I think it was Monday, they had the Charlton Heston version of that. I used to love to watch that movie. I don't have time to sit there and watch the whole thing now anymore, but I did. I always try to catch it about the time that they get ready to end and they part the Red Sea. I love that scene where they part the Red Sea. He's looking back at that, and he's thinking how during the famine, which is how they ended up in Egypt, God had put a plan in place for his people. That was working all the way through Joseph being sold into slavery, which probably wasn't a very good memory for Joseph. And God was just continuing to work because he loves us enough that his plan is always there working for us. You know, we had those moments too. I mean, he put a plan in place for the famine, and he put a plan in place to get them out. And we have that moment too when we can begin to look back. I know I told you I was going to be in Psalm chapter 77. This is my one little bounce here. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And you get what we have in common with the situation, right? We were under the curse of sin. We'll talk about that in a few weeks here, about what it means to be under the curse of sin. But here's what I do need you to know today, that like the Israelites, that curse had placed us in bondage. The Bible says we become slaves to our own sin, unwilling to stop even if we wanted to. And also, like the Jews, God sent one to set us free. Only it wasn't just a man. We know him, right? He did the greatest and ultimate work that could ever be done. He gave his life on a cross. It says anybody that's hung on a pole is cursed. Jesus took my curse on himself and allowed himself to be hung. And as we celebrated last week, he rose from the dead to part our Red Sea of sin and providing a path back to redemption. You get, Easter is about hope. We talked about that last week. And when God came out of that tomb, when it was Jesus risen, that see that I had no way of getting past. It's all open now. That's the reason that veil tore in the temple. Because God wanted you to know, open access now. Remember that. I loved you enough to give my name, my life on a cross for you. And well, if you just can't wrap your head around God loves you, there's another very important memory from our psalmist here that I think we all sort of need to remember. And maybe this would help us do that moment of be still and know that I'm God. Take a breath, folks, because God is in control. This is what he writes in verses 16 through 20. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. To the very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world, and the earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And quite honestly, Hollywood couldn't even do it justice. Yeah, I like that scene. I like the one from Prince of Egypt where he strikes the water, and it all looks good. But did you catch that? It wasn't a wind. It was your wind. It wasn't some thunder. It was God's thunder. It wasn't just lightning. It was God's lightning. It was God's light. It all belonged to God. And if God can hurl that kind of immense power to separate waters to bring people to redemption, what you got that's bigger than that? What do you got? What do you got that's bigger than that? How many times in our society today we have said our world is out of control? It's not. Sometimes to me it looks like it is out of control, but it is never out of control because guess what? God still holds the reins. God is still in control. The COVID virus didn't knock him off of the throne, folks. He didn't go into quarantine and stop working. God is still in control today, just like he's always been. And you know what? When I remember that, sometimes that's very helpful. And this is all well and good. And so now I'm going to break my promise and we're going to bounce a little bit. This is all well and good, but sometimes my memory don't work so good. When I was younger, I had what they classified as an audiographic memory, which basically if you told it to me, good luck on me ever forgetting it. It used to really annoy my wife. She would be talking and I would be doing something else and she would say, "Are you listening to me?" And I would recite the last half hour conversation pretty much word for word. She's like, "Don't do that. That's freaky. Don't do that kind of stuff to me." I can't do that anymore because my filing system has gotten old. But sometimes I need some reminders. So you know what? God gave us some reminders. To the Israelites, he gave a guide, Aaron and Moses. And well, to us, he also gave us a guide. John chapter 14, verse 26. "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said." You know, the tooth fairy said it was her job to collect those memories, hold on to them, and guard them, and then bring them to recall when you need them. That's how she said her job was supposed to work. And well, God didn't give us a magic fairy, so if you're waiting for the lady with the wings to show up with your memories and give you a reminder, you know who he gave us? His Holy Spirit. And the awesome thing is, as powerful as Tuthena was, you know how many places she could be in at the same time? One. That's why she had all the little fairies. That's why she was so worried when Santa and Bunny said, "Hey, we'll collect the teeth for you." She's like, "Do you know how big that job is? You can't do that by yourself." "No, we got this." The Holy Spirit, everywhere, all the time, 24/7. And one of his jobs is described to remind me the things that God has done in my life. That's what he's there for. Of course, sometimes I choose not to listen. I need something a little more physical. God, it's nice that there's some spirit out there. I need something in my hands, God. I need a reminder that I can grab hold of. Okay, got you covered. This is what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, building memories, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God gave you his word. What does it say? It's supposed to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is supposed to guide me through my life. But here's the deal. Anybody here ever bought something and then you never read the instruction manual till something goes wrong? You know that's how we treat the Bible? You know, we got this Christian life and I'm just going to start living it and all of a sudden there's an accident or a crash or water's dripping from it. And then I decide I better go read the manual. And then we start finding out things that, wow, this would have been useful to know before. Yeah. That's what it was given to you for, as a reminder. If you start looking through God's word, you get to see all of the promises from all of the past, and you get to see how Jesus came, and he gave his life, and you get to see how he worked through the early church. It's all put together to remind us. Of course, sometimes I don't like to read. That's good, but, you know, reading's not really my thing. God, what else you got for me? Surely you got something else to remind me. God's got you covered. We have each other. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. So unlike Santa and Bunny, or even Sandman, who we'll talk about next week. The Tooth Fairy has thousands and thousands of these little fairies that she's been using to go around and collect these teeth. Now, I know, at least not me, I've never pictured myself as a little fairy with wings flying around. But you do understand, that is what the church is supposed to help do. When I see Gary's having a tough time of it, I have a responsibility to go to Gary and remind him how much God loves him. When Nancy sees Rich is struggling, you have a responsibility to go to Rich and remind him. When Margaret sees that Bob is struggling, there's a responsibility. And as we all continue to fly amongst each other's lives and we are constantly reminding each other, man, how helpful is that? When you're having one of those moments, you just can't see it. Sometimes somebody standing outside of the situation can come in and give you just a little moment of relief to say, you know what? Been there, done that. Let me tell you my experience with it and how God helped me. And in that moment, you begin to remember how much God has already done in your life, how much God does love you, how much control God does have. See, a lot of times we just need somebody. I think that's what we lost when we had to go totally online. Looking forward to, I like online. I think online is a great tool. It's not going anywhere, okay? When we get things back to whatever we're going to call normal in the future, the online service is going to stay because I think it is a wonderful tool. But even in that moment, ask anybody that had to do church online for a length of time, what are they going to tell you? It ain't the same, folks. It's good. I can get fed. I can see God's scripture. But there's just something missing because we miss each other because we are constant reminders to each other of all those things that God has done in our past. Well, that's good. What you got for me today, though? I mean, right now, this moment, this time, I'm struggling. There are things in my life that I need something now. I need something physical. I need something I can see. I need something I can associate. I need another reminder. You know what? God said, got you covered. Here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. For I received from the Lord what also I passed on to you. Ah, there's the memory. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup. It is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." On the last night that Jesus was here on this planet, follow me. On the last night that Jesus was here on the planet, he called his disciples together. And he said, "You know what? I'm not going to always be here. Seriously. Things are about to happen that's going to change life like forever. Things are about to get a little more complicated. And during these dark moments and during these dark times, I'm going to leave behind something really simple, really connected, that I want you to understand. Do this in remembrance of me." It begins with, I got it in the wrong hand. So you put it in the two cups. You can't teach me anything, can you? It starts with a little wafer. Here's the cool thing. Did you know here at this church, these are all homemade? Yeah, we don't mess with the store-bought stuff. We actually have a lady that makes these, and I was interested one time in how she makes them. And what she does is a perfect symbol. I wish I could have her here one day to show you the process for making these little wafers. But she takes a roll-out pie shell, which is all one, and then she cuts these little circles out of that one big pie shell and lays them on a sheet, and she bakes them until they look like that. So this is why you think, "Well, I just got a little piece." Yeah, it was all broken from one, though. This all started as one big giant piece, and Jesus said, "This is going to be the representation. I want you to remember my body that was broken for you." And then he took this other cup that ours is grape juice. I don't have a problem if they wanted to use real wine, but I don't know. We use grape juice. That's our choice. That's cool. And everybody has their own dispensable cup. We don't do it all out of one. Probably a good idea right now. We've never done it all out of one. I don't know, I have a hard time drinking after somebody when they sip out of my drink, let alone when, I don't think I could do it, but anyway. But he has this little cup of juice, and he says, "This, when you see this, I want you to remember something. That cross, it's going to stain with my blood. This is the blood of forgiveness." And you know, a lot of times when we take communion, it's kind of at the midpoint in our worship service, it's snack time. You know, it's that moment as we're transitioning from the singing part to the sermon part. And so I moved it purposely today for two reasons. Number one, we're near the end of the service. It's all to itself. And then we're going to add a subtle twist. Before we take communion today, Lauren's going to play a special on the piano. And as she's playing that special, I just want you to start remembering all the things that God has done to get us to this point, how active he has been in our lives. And then when Lauren is done playing, I'll step back up to the stage, and we're going to have a moment of silence. And again, that silence isn't so that we can just like, okay, prepare my... I want you to keep remembering. Just take a moment. And then thank God for all of the things that he's done in his life. And then when we're done that, we're going to have a prayer for these two elements. And then we're going to take our communion, our moment of remembrance. Then we're going to stand and sing a song and be dismissed row by row. But folks, this morning, bread, juice. Make sure that this morning you're doing this in remembrance of God. Lord.